Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin daf Lamed Daled. Begin 11 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah, which spoke about the differences, many of them, between the court proceedings of Dinim Omenis, of monetary law, and of Din Nefashis, of capital punishment. So one of the differences was, as our Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, was Din Nefashis Hamalamed V'chulu, regarding when it's capital punishment, someone that taught a finding favor that this person is not guilty, he cannot retract and then say and find reasoning and rationale and proofs that he is guilty. Once you said that he's not guilty, you can't back out. Now, that halacha Amar Ravi qualifies and says, Loi shanu el b'shas mate amatin. That was only said during the deliberations of the court proceedings. The reason for that is because we want him to maintain and have to stay with that positioning of that he's not guilty to try to find proofs to, which is human nature, to try to find proofs to what a person's position is, because maybe if he actually attempts to really find, he'll actually realize that what his original position was, that he's not guilty, was not a mistake, and it was not an error. Although now he's thinking, no, I think he's really guilty. If we require him to maintain that original initial position, which is that's one of the intentions of the courts to find a legitimate exemption of the death penalty for this person, if we require him to stay that, he'll actually find that. Now, Avo B'Shas Gemara Din, but says Rav, of course, if at the conclusion of the court case, where this guy already did all his attempts, and he tried finding reasonings to show that he's not that he's not guilty, but even so, at the end of the court case, he still feels that his original position of not guilty was an error, and he feels that the person is guilty, Melamed Schos, Chayzer Melamed Chayba. Although originally he was the one who taught that the person reasonings why he would not be guilty, he could retract and show that the person is guilty. The halacha of the Mishnah is only during the deliberations just to be able to provide a motivation for him to try to exempt the person. But if he thinks, even though all the way at the end, that he's still guilty, he could go ahead and be counted among those who hold that he's guilty and that he should be killed. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on this halacha of Rav, Meisavei, from a Mishnah later on, which in the context of the halacha of Halonas Din, which is that requires an individual who finds the person guilty in a capital punishment case, they cannot prosecute the person and kill him on that day. They have to sleep overnight to see if maybe they're going to change their minds and find a way to exempt him from the death penalty till the following day. So the Mishnah there says, so what happens? L'machris mashkim in the bun. So the next day they get up, they come back into the court. Hamazaka Eimer, so the one who finds him not guilty says, Ani Hamazaka, I'm the one who held he's not guilty. Umazaka Nibim Kaimi, and I maintain my position that he's not guilty. Hamachayiv Eimer, the one who holds that he is guilty says, Ani Hamachayiv, I'm the one who holds that he's guilty. Umachayiv Nibim Kaimi, and I maintain my position that he's guilty. Now, Hamalamit Chayiv, Malamitzchos, the one who had taught up until now that he's guilty, now that he slept over, the next day could come in and he could teach and say that he's not guilty. Avalam Malamitzchos, but the one who up until now has been teaching and preaching that he's not guilty, he cannot come back now the next day and teach and say and find reasonings that he is guilty. So ask the Gemara, but this next day, the reason why we're staying overnight is because today we're going to just make the decision. It's going to be effective today. We just couldn't pronounce it yesterday. So this next day is the conclusion of the court, and still we see from this halacha of the Mishnah that even someone who had originally taught schos, now at the Gemara Din, cannot teach Chayva, which is not like Rav, who qualified and said it's only during Masa Matan, but at the end he could change his mind. To which the Gemara responds, what do you mean? Ultamech, according to your reasoning, what, Lamachris, Masa Matan, Milek? What do you think, the next day there is no deliberations? Ki katani, b'shas, Masa Matan. Of course, the next day they're going to want to make a Gemara Din, but when they start off the day again, of course, people might be changing their minds from yesterday, which is the whole purpose of staying overnight, and there's going to be deliberations again. What do you mean? It couldn't be that he didn't. So, of course, there's going to be Masa Matan. It's during that time period that the Mishnah was describing that he cannot change. But all the way at the end of that following day, of course, he could change his mind, like Rav said. Gemara continues asking on Rav's opinion. Tashema, where from that Mishnah, the Mishnah there discusses regarding what happens if there's a disagreement in the court. We have 36 judges who hold that he's guilty, and you have 35 who hold that he's not guilty, which we taught all the way in the beginning of the Masechta, that you cannot go ahead and decide a guilty verdict in capital punishment based on one judge. But the problem is we already maxed out the total amount. We said that you start off a certain amount, you keep on adding. When you get to 70, 71, that's it. You maxed out. Now, the problem is we're at a stalemate because we already reached the maximum amount of judges, and there's 36 who hold that he's guilty and 35 not guilty, and we can't find a guilty verdict based on one. So what do you do? Says the Mishnah. Dunin, so they judge based on their proofs. Elu keneged elu. Now the real fighting it out comes, where the judges now have to judge one the other with their proofs. At shiro echad min hamachayavin divrei mazaken, until finally one of those who held up until now that he's guilty will see the light of the ones who hold that he's not guilty, and he'll turn over, which now they turn over the majorities of the guilty to the not guilty, and now the not guilties will be the majority, and then they'll exempt him. But to change over one of those who held up until now that he's not guilty, that the Mishnah doesn't say. And that has the Gemara v'emisa. But if we hold the halach of Rav, that by the Gemara din, when we're stuck, we're at the end, we want to finish it off, that you could even change and teach that he is guilty. So listen to Nami Ipcha. So the Mishnah should have said the reverse too. It should have said, until you have one of the Mezakin changes over to the size of Mechayoven. Because then you'll have not just one of 36 to 35, you'll actually have now, it'll be 37 to 34. Well, you'll have more than two. So that seems to contradict Rav. Why do you only say that one of the Mechayoven switching over to Mezakah, you could have a Zakah to also Chayiv? That answers the Gemara. It's not difficult on Rav. Tana, the Tana of that Mishnah, Aschus Kumahadir, he prefers to go ahead and teach a law of Torah in the most preferred way, which is that a person will not be killed. But of course, the same thing would apply in the reverse too. It's just Achleba Lukamahadi. He didn't want to say his Allah in the context of finding someone guilty, which many times we find that we prefer to say in the most elevated and refined state. So therefore, it was saying in that way. But of course, it would apply the other way too, as Rav had said. Of course, you could change from being from the Mezakas to being from the Mechayavim. The Gemara continues asking on Rav Toshima. We learn the following braisa, the Amar Abiyase Reb Chanina. He says, Echad min ha-tamidim shaziko meis. Regarding one of the students who sits in front of the court, if he found reason to prove that this person is not guilty, which that actually elevates him to the status of one of the members of the courts, which would thus be counted towards the side of finding him not guilty, but umeis, he dies before they get a chance to hand down the verdict. So says the braisa reinaisai, so they see this Talmud who died regarding the final counting, ki'ilu chayv o'imim b'kayim, as if he's alive and as if he's standing in his place and maintaining his position to be counted from those who hold that he's not guilty. That has the Gemara v'amai, but why? Based on what Rav said, neima ilu havakayim hoderbe. Maybe say, had he been around now at the Gemara Din, he would have changed his mind, because Rav holds you could change your mind. So how could we know for sure he would have maintained his position to count from those who hold that he's going to be from those who hold that he's not guilty? That answers the Gemara. That's not difficult. Hashtami alehadabe. But now he didn't retract. He's dead. So since his original position, and we don't know any way otherwise, was that he's not guilty, that's why we count it as such. Yeah, if he was alive, he could retract, but he's not alive, and he didn't retract. Now, however, the Gemara asks, how could you answer this price of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina to say that that's like Rav, and that's because we just resolved the question? They sent from there, from Eretz Yisrael. According to this opinion of the Brice that we just quoted, that's excluded from this that of our teacher of Rav. In other words, Rabbi Yisi does not hold of this halacha of Rav, who says that Gemara Din you could retract, and then even though you held not guilty, you could find guilty. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch were saying, because he holds that we maintain that he's Eimid Ben Kaimi, that he's Zaycha. Obviously, it's clear that he's not like Rav. And don't answer that it's only because he didn't retract. It sounds like, no, because he cannot retract. That the Gemara answers, no, ain mutze itmar. Actually, what they sent from Eretz Yisrael was that Rabbi Yisrael Chanina is not excluded from the teaching of Rav. Because the teaching of Rabbi Yisrael is not because he cannot, it's only because right now, ultimately, he did not retract, but even though that you could, which is like Rav. So the Gemara continues asking, Tashma, we have a Mishnah later on, Devlam Advavim Abayz, that says, Shnei Sefer Hadayon and Einim Lefneim. We have two judicial scribes that stand in front of the court. Echad min hayimin, vechad min hasmol, one on the right side, one on the left side. V'kaisvin, and they write, Divrei hamezakim, divrei hamechayavim. They write both the words of those who find the person not guilty, and write the words of the judges who find that he is guilty. Meaning they write that this judge held that he's guilty and for this reason, and this judge wrote that he's not guilty and for this reason. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam and Divrei HaMechayavim, we could understand that you have to write down the words of the judges who are claiming that he's guilty, and this would even be on day number one of the court proceedings, because although he could change his mind, but you need to know tomorrow, the next day, what were the reasonings he held that he was guilty for on the first day. Because if he wants to go ahead and change his mind from the first reasoning that he had on the first day where he was guilty, the thing is, lemacher chazur taimachrina. It's very possible that the next day, although he's still going to maintain he's guilty, but he's going to be coming from a different rationale, a different reasoning. And therefore, you're going to have to sleep overnight for that second reasoning, because you might change your mind from that. In other words, although on day one he held that he's guilty, and day number two he held that he's guilty. But if day number one he held that he's guilty for one reason, and then day number two he changed his mind, not that wasn't a good reason, this is the reason. The thing is, although he maintained overnight that he's guilty, but it's for a different reason. And that reasoning has to be slept overnight for that. So we understand why you have to write not only those who hold that he's guilty, but even the reasonings, because that would mean that would require that although he's still holding guilty 2 days in a row, he would have to wait another day to then proclaim that he's guilty. But what's the reason why we have to write down the reasonings of those who hold that he's not guilty? In other words, if you hold a grav that the judges could change their mind, what would be the purpose of writing down that they're the ones and that those are their reasons? In other words, if you're entertained to say the reason is because of the deliberations for the next day, because we said that those who hold that he's not guilty cannot change their mind during the court proceedings, but that would be enough to then go ahead and just write that, although they can't back out, just write that this judge holds that he's not guilty. But why would they have to write the reasonings, their rationales, for why they hold that they're not guilty? Rather, says the Gemara, La Mishum, isn't it because the Chazu Taima Achrina L'Chayva, because if they would see a different reasoning to think why he is guilty, that we do not pay attention to them, and that's why you have to write their reasoning. Why do you have to write their reasoning? So that they should not forget the reason why they said that he's not guilty, because he might then claim, oh yeah, I know that I held he wasn't guilty, but that was because, as we learned this svara in the previous daf, it was from something that even the tzedukim agreed to. I made a mistake in a pasuk in Chumash, where such a mistake, I could be chayzer. So that's why you have to write down the reasoning. But according to Rav, what would be the purpose of writing down the reason? There's nothing, you could back out, you could change your mind. You don't have to, it doesn't make a difference what the reason was, by Gemara Din you could change your mind. So what would be the, and that's, it's only anyways applicable for Gemara Din, because during the proceedings, anyways you can't back out, and for that, why you wouldn't have to write the reasons, just say he's from those who hold that he's not guilty. So seemingly, it's not like Rav, who holds that you could back out and change your mind and say that he is guilty by the conclusion of the court case. Says Gemara Loi, no. It's not the reason why you write the reasonings why he holds that he's not guilty. And actually, because for that, it wouldn't make a difference, because he could back out. It's Kadesh la yoimru shnayim tam echad mishnei mikrayis. It's only so that two judges don't say the same logic from two different psukim, which Gemara is going to explain shortly what would be an example of that. But that's why you have to write it, because if he says, oh, I hold from the Torah, I can bring a proof that he's going to be guilty, and he says a svara, and he brings it from one pasuk, and another judge has the same reasoning from a different pasuk, then that's not going to be valid. As Gemara says, "Kidibay minei Rav Asher Rabbi Yechanan." He asked him, "Amru shnayim tam echad mishnei mikrayis mahu." He asked him this question: if two judges say the same reasoning from two different pasukim, what's the halacha? Amalei said to him, "Ein meinin lehen ela echad." We actually only count them as one judge finding favor. The reason for that is because, obviously, one of the psukim that one of the judges is basing his reasoning on is not coming to say that. Because, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, two psukim don't teach the same halacha. So it must be one of them is making an error in his extrapolation from that pasuk, and therefore we can't count them. We don't know which one, but it's definitely one of them is making a mistake. And that's why we have them write down their reasonings, not only Divrei HaMechayav and their reasons, that we said because it would be important for Halonas Din, but even Divrei Mezaken, which is not difficult on Rav. We write it down because if we find two judges who are saying that he's not guilty, the same reason, but from different psukim, one of them is making an error, and we can't count them as two, but rather as one. So the Gemara says, but not merely, where do we know this halacha from? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, because the Amar Kra, the pasuk says in Tehillim, Achas Dibur Elohim, one thing Hashem says, Shtaim Zu Shemati, but I heard two things. But the opposite for sure not. It's not that two things Hashem says and that we hear only one, which is two psukim, and we would only understand one halacha from that. It says the pasuk, Ki Oiz Lelikim, because there's might for Hashem. which the interpretation means mikra echad yitz lekama taimim. One pasuk, you could have many different things that are learned out from one pasuk, but ve'in tam echad yitz lekama kores. But you can't have one thing coming out from many different pesukim. And that's the same idea, which we said that that's why they have to write down what's their reasoning, because if we find that it's the same reason from two different pesukim, we can't count it as two. Now, the Beir Shmuel Tana, he brings a different source for this halacha. Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, "Ukapatish yefaitzit sela," like the hammer that shatters the rock, which tells us, "Ma patish zet mischalkel kamen nitzaitzit," just like this hammer gets split into many different splinters, into many different parts, many different sparks when it hits the rock. Af mikra echad yitzli kamen taim. So to one pasuk, you have many different reasonings and understandings that come out from one pasuk. But again, the opposite, most definitely not. Which is what the Gemara asks. What would be an example of this? That you would have one halacha, one reasoning, coming out from two different psukim. Which we said that if two judges are doing that, I mean, one of these two opinions are correct. You can't have, as we said, this two different psukim teaching the same idea. But there could be a disagreement, but we definitely cannot count it as two. So what would be an example of that? So Amar Rav Zudi said, like learn the Mishnah Masechet Zvachim. Mishnah says, Mizbeach Mikadosh. The Mizbeach that was in the Azara, it's sanctified, meaning even things which are apostle, which the halacha, however, is when we're saying it sanctifies it, meaning what's known as Shem Olu Lo Yeridu. If you brought these items up already onto the Mizbeach, we're not going to take it down. We're going to have it sacrificed there on Mizbeach. So initially, not supposed to. But the Mizbeach sanctifies something that's apostle if it's Esharo Loi. As long as it's something that was fit at some point to be brought onto the Mizbeach, which Gemara in Zvachim explains, what's it excluding is, for example, a kmitza, a fistful of flour from the mincha offering, which was never sanctified in the vessel. It was never, ever fit for the Mizbeach. If that was put onto the Mizbeach, we're going to take it down. But let's say something, a regular carbon that had pigel, which is a certain machshav apostle that the kohen has when he's doing the avodah, or if the blood was spilled out, or if, let's say, it was slaughtered with some other machshav apostle, then that's what the Mishnah is saying, im alu lo yerd, if it went up, we're not going to take it down, which the Gemara there explains because it's what's known as pesulim hakodesh, which is that it was at one point in the Azar, in the courtyard, and it was fit for the Mizbeach. In the courtyard, it became pasul, so therefore, it was already fit. So, although now it's not supposed to be brought up, but it was brought up, the Mizbeach, so to speak, sanctifies it, and we don't take it down, we'll sacrifice it. Now, Rabbi Shua Aimer, Shua says, which the assumption of the Gemara initially is, Rabbi Shua is not coming to disagree with any of the other opinions mentioned, he's just coming to show a pasuk that it's learned out from. He says, Kalaro le'ishim, whatever's fit to be burnt on the fires on the Mizbeach, im alu le'yered, so again, if it's put onto the Mizbeach, we're not going to take it down. Shenema, what's the source? It's a pasuk in Yukar that says, ha'oila al-moikta, the carbon oila, which is the oila sacrifice, which is burnt totally on the Mizbeach, is al-moikta on its power, which is the fire that's on top of the Mizbeach. So he's medayik, he's learning from the word meikta, which is the word which means ishim, the fires. And the pasuk says over there that it's kol halayla, all the whole night, that the carbon oil should be there. Which that's teaching us that because once it's put there, we don't take it down. In other words, because for a regular kosher oil, we don't need a pasuk to tell us that. Of course it stays there. What's it saying that it stays there? It's saying that even if it's a pasul carbon, that it stays there, as Rabbi Shua says, ma oilishi ru'ul ishim. So therefore we extrapolate, we say, just like a carbon oilam, which is fit to be brought onto the fires, im also like terror, even though it became possible, but once we put it up, we're not going to take it down. Of course, ru'ul ishim, anything that initially was fit to be sacrificed on the fires, im allah yared, if it went up, although now it's in the possible state, we're not going to take it down. Rabbi Lilaimer, he says, kalarol mizbeach, whatever is fit to be brought onto mizbeach, if it was put up, although now it's possible, we don't take it down. So like it says over there in that pasuk, it says, "Hi ha'ayla al moikta al mizbeach." It's the carbon ayla on the fires which are on the mizbeach. Now the reasoning of Rami Gamliel is he's coming from the word al mizbeach, which teaches us ma ayla shi ruli gam mizbeach. Just like carbon ayla is fit to be brought on the mizbeach on the altar, it also lay tered if it goes up, it doesn't come down. Of kol shu ruli mizbeach. Also anything that's fit to be brought on the mizbeach, im ola yered if it goes up, it doesn't come down. Now says the Gemara. What is Rabbi Shua and Gamliel adding on that we're learning out from this drasha to say if it goes up, it doesn't come down? They're psulin. Meaning, as we said, anything that became invalid in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, if initially it was fit, in the Beis HaMikdash it became unfit, if it went up onto the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. Now, seemingly, they're not disagreeing. It's just that Mar Maisi L'Memekdash, Rabbi Shua is learning out the halacha from the fires of the Mizbeach, or Mar Maisi L'Memekdash, and Rami Gamliel is learning out from the word of that it goes onto the Mizbeach. But they're both saying the same thing. And therefore you see, tam echad mishnei mikrois. Now one of them is obviously right and the other one would be wrong. So if two judges in a court case, regarding a court decision, if they would both be saying, let's say he's not guilty because of this reasoning, which is this idea of, let's say, Allah yerdu, and one judge would say, like Imlil, one would say, like Yubishua, they would only count them as one. Because one of them is obviously wrong, because they're both saying the same halacha, but from two different sukkah. Now the Gemara asks, but this is not a good example. Because v'hahasa myth like pligi, it's not true. Rabbi Kiv, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yeshua and Imlil are actually disagreeing. They're not tam echad. They're not saying the same halacha. Because the Ketani Seifa, the end over there teaches, in that Mishnah, it says, Im bein divrim Imlil divri Yeshua, there is no difference between them, but there is. Ela hadam v'hanesachim. The blood of a carbon and of the libations, which like the wine that's poured in the Mizbech, where they became pasul, there is a disagreement between them. So they're not saying the same thing. He says that they do not come down from the Mizbech because he learns out from the term ala Mizbech, and these things are fit for the Mizbech. They're poured or they're thrown on the Mizbech. But Rabbi Shua Emer Yerdu, he says that it does come down because it's not fit for the Ishim, it's not brought on the fire of the Mizbech. He learns it out from Maikta. That's only things that are sacrificed on the fire, which are the limbs of the animal and other things. But these things are not sacrificed on the fire, and therefore they would come down. So we see they're not saying Tam Echad. They might be disagreeing, but it's not Tam Echad Mishnei Mikrois, and therefore that wouldn't be a good example of what's Tam Echad Mishnei Mikrois. So Elam Rav Papa, he gives a different example. He says, Kedei Tam Lekluna Braisa. Basically, he says, Mitech Shenemeth, from the fact that it says the Pasuk in Shemais, as we continue to Amid Beis, it says, Kol HaNegeya B'Mizbeach, whatever touches the Mizbeach, which sounds like everything, even something that is pasul, Yikdash will be sanctified, meaning, and we're not going to take it down. So, Shemei Ani, I would think from that Pasuk, Bein Ro, Bein Chein Ro, whether it's something that's fit for the Mizbeach, or even not fit, like things like sourdough, yeast, honey, a ram, a deer, and something that's unconsecrated, which is totally not fit to Mizbeach. That, it sounds like, but if it touches the Mizbeach, it doesn't come down. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches after that. It says near there, V'zeh tassel Mizbeach, and this is what you should do on the Mizbeach, is that you bring kvasim, lambs, that the Pasuk says over the B'nai Shana in its first year, which we learn, ma kvasim ruyin, just like lambs, that they're at least fit, so even though they become pasul, then we'll say, Ma lo yerdu, av kol ro, has to be something that's at least fit with Mizbeach. Then if it's pasul, then we'll say, Ma lo yerdu, but if something totally not fit, like something that's chulin, we're going to take it down even if it touches the Mizbeach. Now, that's the first opinion. Rabbi Kivim, he says, it says later on over there, it says, Oyla. So he says, Ma Oyla ru'uya. So it's teaching you that when it says, Kol negeh Mizbeach yikdash, has to be like a carbon Oyla. Which ma oila ru'uya, just like carbon oila is fit for the Mizbeach, av kol ro, everything that's fit. So says the Gemara, v'tavayu ma kamamatu. What are they both excluding when they're saying that it has to be something that's fit? They're excluding psuli, things that are pasul, that are not fit, that would never fit at all. They weren't something that at least was fit that became pasul. Ma maisulam kvasim. The first opinion just brings it from the word kvasim, from lambs. Ma maisulam oila, other one brings from the word oila, but they're both talking about the same idea. They're talking about karbanas, which were fit. So it's tam echad mishnei mikrois. So the Gemara, no, Ba'amar Rav Abba Bar Abba, he said, Oilas ha'if pesula ikabei na'i, there is a difference between them, it's not tam echad. Regarding a bird carbon oila that became pasul, would be a difference between their opinions. Man de ma'islam kvasim, the one who learns out from the word of lambs, kvasim in, aval oilas ha'if loy, those are animals. That's where we'd say im olo yerdu. But a bird carbon oila which became pasul, we would say yerdu, would come down. Whereas a man, the ma'isilam oila, one who learns out from the word oila, afil oila sefnami, would say a bird oila is still an oila, and then that would not come down. And therefore, it's not tam echad mishnei mikrois. So Elam Ravashi, rather Ravashi gives a different a case that would be valid. It says, Kiditan leglun abraisa. Pasuk says in Mayikra, and this is in Perek Gedayin Pasuk Dal, which the entire Pasuk says that if vel pesach oil moy lehiviu, if someone did not bring Laharkiv carbon Lashem left in the Mishkan Lashem. Someone did not bring the carbon that he has to the Beis Hamikdash itself. Rather, he goes and he does it outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So the pasuk that the Brice is quoting is Dam Yichashav L'Ishahu, which should be considered blood for that person. Dam Shafach, he has spilled blood, and therefore the pasuk concludes over there. V'nirchas Ishahu Mikaravama, he's going to get karas. Now, although it's really saying that the one who does this Avoida for the carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's like he's someone that spilled blood, meaning that he killed someone. But the word Dam Shafach, says the first opinion of Braisa, comes to be L'Rabbis Es HaZarik. It comes to include not only what the pasuk there is talking about, what's called shrutei chutz. If you sacrifice, if you slaughter the animal, the carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, but comes include also if you threw the blood of the carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which there also you'll get karis. Which that's being learned out from the word dam shafach, the word the pouring blood, which is what ziriki is on some level, is when you throw the blood, you pour the blood. That's the Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says, where it says later on over there, it says, oy zavach. And there it's not talking about by what's called shchutechot, slaughtering the animal, the carbon outside. It's what's called malabachutz. It's someone that brings it up to the altar that you have outside the Beis HaMikdash, where it says over there, oy zavach, or if he brings a carbon oilo or a zavach, which is like a carbon shlam. Now, the word oi comes to tell you, l'rabbis is a zarek. You didn't have to write the word oi. You could have said that oilo vazavach. Why say or? It's coming to include someone that throws the blood. Now, says the Gemara, but tavai my kamar, but what are they both coming to include in the isra of a service of a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash? Zrika, they're both including throwing the blood. Mar maisi lamidami chashav. One is bringing it from the words of that it's considered blood. Umar might mean that as if he spilled blood. Umar might shalom oizavach. The other ones are from the word oi or carbon shalomim. So you see that they're learning tamech and mishnei mekrois. That would be an example of the courts that we said that if they both said this, we would only count one, not two. I'm not thinking more asked on this interpretation too. But v'amre b'vo said shachat bezarak. If somebody went and he took a carbon and he slaughtered it and he threw its blood in what's called Helam Echad, in one lapse of awareness that he was doing something wrong, and he did this outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it could be now, there is a difference between their opinions, and not the Tam Echad. Why? Because L'divri Bishmol in the Chayev Al-Achas, according to Bishmol, that actually that sinner would only be Chayev for one Karban Chatas. Because Rabbi Shmuel learns the punishment of Karis for the one who throws the blood from that which it says by the parish of the one who slaughters the animal. And since they both are learnt out from one negative prohibition and one punishment of karis, so neither is there going to be any differentiation of karmachatas between the two of them if you do it in one lapse of awareness. Whereas, according to Rabbi Kiva, that he learns the punishment of karis for one who throws blood of a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash from the one who's mala, who brings it up, not from the slaughtering, but from the mala, which is oizavach. So then, if you slaughter and throw the blood, those are two different penalties of karis. Chayiv shtayim, so then you would be liable for two karban chata. So therefore you see that there is a difference. It's not tamecha, mishnei mekrois. That the Gemara says, no, hayid mar Allah, but we learned regarding that halacha, that Amar Abaye said, no, afla divrei Rabbi Kiva, even according to Rabbi Kiva, that although, yes, there might be two different punishments of karis, but nami ein chayiv al achas, he also would agree that although there's two different punishments of karis, but you're only going to be chayiv one karban chatas, because there's two things. There is the Torah's warning of doing this thing, and there's Torah's punishment of doing this thing. The punishment of karis are two different things. But there's only one warning for these two things. And since the warning is the source of the karmachatas, since there's no difference in the warning, there's not going to be a difference in karmachatas between the two of them. And the reason for that is because regarding being mala karmachotz, it has its own warning. In Devarim Yud Beis, it says, Yishram Elocha Pentalo Elasecha, that you should be careful not to bring up your carbon oila outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, whereas regarding the prohibition of slaughtering and throwing its blood, doesn't really say in the Torah a clear-cut warning not to do them. It talks about the punishment, but it doesn't say the warning. So how do we know you're not supposed to do it? It's rather, it's learned out from a hekesh, where it's compared to the Isra of being mala, because the Amakar, the Pasuk says in the Varm, Sham Tala Oyla Secha Visham Tasa, that there you should bring up your Karban Oyla, and there you should do it. Which Arvina Rachman Lekula Asiyas, the Pasuk is putting together all the other doings of the Karban, which is comparing it to the Halah, which is from here is where we learn out regarding the slaughtering and the throwing of the blood, and that would be a case of Tam Echad Mishnei Mekrois, because there actually is no difference between them regarding bringing a carbon chatas, which is regarding doing the Zrikas Adam. And since they learn out the same halacha from two different psukim, that was why we said you have to write those who, when they're mezaka, you have to write who's the one that says he's not guilty and the reasoning for them, not like we asked on Rav, oh, obviously because he can't back out. No, he could back out, so what do you have to write the reasoning for? You don't have to say that it's because something that's dukum is maidim. No, you have to write it down, because if two judges are going to say the same idea from two different sukkim, one of them must be making a mistake like we have over here, where it's the same halacha regarding the isra of zrika, where there's no difference, even by shachat bezarak, regarding the karmachatas, and yet still we have two different pesukim, which that would be tam echad, the shnei mekrayis. If two judges said that same halacha, we would only count them as one. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah, other differences that we have between din mamonis and din nefashis. The Mishnah said, din mamonis done by yayim v'chulu. Regarding monetary law, the liberations has to be during the daytime, but the conclusion could be even at nighttime. Now, says the Gemara, simen is mishpat mana mate, which are different halachas from chiyah bar papa. The Gemara opens up by asking, where do we know this from? That you could even be geimer, you could conclude the court case of the monetary law at nighttime. So Amar B'chir Bar Papa, he says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, V'shaftu es ha'am b'chal eis, you should judge the people at all times, which means even nighttime. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, t'chilis dinami, well then we should even be able to start the court case at nighttime too, because it says you could judge at all times. And then the Gemara says, no, could the Rava, like Rava said, because the Rava actually posed it as a contradiction. K'siv, it says the Pasuk we just quoted before, V'shaftu es ha'am b'chal eis, that you judge the people at all times. Yet Uksiv, there's a pasuk in Devarim that says, that it will be on the day when you'll bequeath to your sons, which is the judgment of inheritance, which that's a monetary type of a judgment. And it says, it has to be during the day. So how so? Is it at all times, even the night, or only during the day? So that's what he says. The day is for the beginning of the judgment, and Laila is Ligmardin, and the nighttime is when you can conclude the court case. The reason why we resolve it as such is because it says Vishaftu, and it says Bukhales is Vishaftu. Now the primary mishpat, the judgment, really is by the verdict, which that's when the judgment comes out. Up until then there's no judgment, and we see that's Bukhales, therefore the Gmardin is by Laila. And the Gemara points out that Masnit Nilek Remeir. Our Mishnah is not like Remeir, because the time we learned the Braisa, how Remeir Eimer, he said, Matam Aleimer. What do we learn from the Pasuk Devarim that says, Al Pihem, that on their words, meaning based on the words of the judges, will Yia Kol Rivachol Nega, will be every dispute and every Nega, every Tsaras affliction. Now the question is, and this is told by the Kan, the Levium, those who are the Torah authorities in the Jewish people, the question is, why is the Pasuk pick and compare and put together disputes, which is monetary law, by Negayim, which is the laws of a Tsaras affliction? Ella Makish, Rivim Lenegayim, it's because it wants to equate and compare their halachas. Because Ma Negayim Bayayim, just like the laws of afflictions apply during the daytime, meaning when you're educating them, when you're coming to the judges, like it says in the Pasuk, V'yikra, Uvayayim Herro'is, by on the day that he sees it, the Kayin could only decide it during the daytime. Afrivim, so too, disputes, which the Gemara is learning, that sounds like even the Gemara Hadin, and that's why this Remeir is not like the Tanav Mishnah, is by Yoim. It's only during the daytime. Again, our Mishnah held, you could have the Gemara Din Amamnes Balayla. Here, Remeir is learning that no, it has to be just like Negoim by daytime, everything of a dispute, of a monetary case, has to be during the daytime. Now, it continues, however, this Hekesh. Uman Negoim Shlei Besumen, just like the laws of Negoim cannot be with a blind Kayin, because the Chesivit says in the Pasuk, V'yikur L'chol Mari in a Kayin, for all the view of the eyes of the Kayin. Afrivim Shlei Besumen, so two disputes cannot be with those who are blind. The judge cannot be blind. Now, it also goes the other way. Makish Negoim L'rivim. We compare the laws of Nega to the laws of monetary disputes, which Ma'rivim Shlei B'Kreivim, just like regarding a court case of monetary, you cannot have relatives, a relative can't judge another one. Af Negoim Shlei B'Kreivim, so too, the laws of a Nega cannot be decided by a Kayin that's a relative. Now, continues the Braisa, so you would think, based on this Hekesh, Ma'rivim B'Shleisha, just like a court case has to have at least three judges, Af Negoim B'Shleisha, so too, a Nega, when it's decided by the Kayin, has to have three Tamidei Chachamim. And says the Braisa, if it didn't, it actually would make sense. It's logical to say that. Because if Memayna B'Shleish, if someone's own money has to be decided by at least three Tamei Chachamim, so Gufo L'Koshkin, his body that has the Nega, that has the Tzaras, isn't all the more, so it has to be decided at least with three people. That's the Pasuk teaching the Yikra that no, Behuvel Aaron the Kohen, that he should be brought, this one with the Nega, to Aaron the Kohen, Oyel Achad V'Gaim, or to one of his sons, Halamata, what you learn from there is Shafila Kohen Echad Reis Nagam. Even one individual Kohen can see the Nega and decide it by himself. Now, related to this halacha, this braisa, the Gemara teaches the Hahu Samya, the Havid Bishvavus of Rabbi Yechanan, a certain blind individual that was in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yechanan, to have a doin dina, that he would judge court cases. Rabbi Yechanan wouldn't tell him anything, he didn't protest. Asked the Gemara, hey, how did Rabbi Yechanan do this? But Rabbi Yechanan himself is known to say, halacha kistam mishnah, the halacha follows when you have an anonymous mishnah. Now, Utnan, there's a Mishnah in Masechet Nida that's an anonymous Mishnah that says as follows: Kala kashru ladun kashru lehayin. The Mishnah there says, whoever is fit to judge is fit to be a witness.
V'yeshakash lehed, v'in kashal adam, but there are those who's fit to be a witness, to testify, but not to judge. V'amr b'yechin, b'yechin had explained that Mishnah. That's lasuy yisumim ba'achas me'inav. It's coming to include, if you have someone that's blind in one of his eyes, he's fit to be an aid, but he's not fit to judge. Which, that's like the Remeu that we mentioned before, who compares monetary cases to a nega, which is just like a nega, we said the kohen has to have sight and not be blind, so too a monetary court case. So we see that he holds that a summa is puzzled to judge a court case, and yet he had in his neighborhood a blind judge that he didn't protest. How is that possible? So the Gemara, because Rabbi Yechon stama achrita ashkech, you're right, Rabbi Yechon usually passes like a stam mishnah, but he found a different anonymous mishnah that holds that a blind judge is valid to judge. And which mishnah is that? It's our mishnah. Where do we see that? The Mishnah says, Dinim Amun is done by Yom, but Grim Balayla, as we just quoted before. A monetary court case could judge by daytime and conclude at nighttime, which is similar to being blind, because at nighttime you can't see. So just like at nighttime you can't see, and that's valid, so to a blind judge who can't see, it's also valid for him to be a judge. So the Gemara says, but my Ulma, the high stomach, my high stomach. Why did he see fit to follow our anonymous Mishnah and not the anonymous Mishnah, Mesechtas Nida? So says the Gemara, Ibayisim, if you want, you could say Stama de Rabim Adif. He preferred our Mishnah because it's an anonymous Mishnah of the majority opinion. Because that Mishnah over there, we know from what we just quoted in the Braisa, is Remeir. Now, but since somewhere else in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said an anonymous Mishnah, which we assume that's the majority opinion, which is not like that of Remeir, so we follow that because we prefer the Stama of the Rabim versus the Stama of Adas Yachar Remeir. Or the Ibayisim, or if you want, you could say Mishum Diktanila, because we taught our Mishnah of that you could judge by nighttime, which is we're equating with a blind judge that can't see, Gabi Hilchasa Dadina. Over here, we taught it regarding the context of Masechta Sanhedrin, which talks about the laws of judges. That's where Rebbe put our anonymous Mishnah, by Dina Mamanus. So you could infer that that's the primary anonymous Mishnah to learn out from that, because in contrast, that Mishnah Masechta Nida, that Rebbe was teaching a bunch of similar cases, which are not necessarily the halacha, even though they're stam Mishnayas. It's just that he wanted to put together a collection of halachas, which are very similar in the context of, like, for example, whatever is obligated in Rishis Hagez is chayiv in the Matnas Kunam. Now, but there are those that are chayiv in Matanas, but are not chayiv in Rishis Hagez, and so on and so forth. The same ideas that we're saying over here, which recorded from that Mishnah, which everyone's fit to judge, is fit to be witness. But there are those who fit, like that same differentiation. He was giving a bunch of different examples, and therefore it would make sense that ours, which is here in the context of Sanhedrin, of Dayanim, and it's saying an anonymous Mishnah, would be more preferable to learn from than that Mishnah, which was just giving different examples of things that have those differences. And that's why Rabbi Yechon and Paskin is like our Stam Mishnah. Now, however, the Gemara goes through now the different details now. So, but Remeir, who we just quoted him before, not like the Tanav Mishnah, who holds that even the Gemardin cannot be at nighttime. So, Hai v'shavtu sa'am b'chaleh. So, this pasuk that says that you should judge the people at all times, my darishbe, what does he expound from that? We had learned it means to say at nighttime. Now, although it was a contradiction, so we said, okay, day, you know, beginning has to be by day, but at least the Gemara Din could be b'chaleis. What does he do with it if he holds that no part of the judgment could be at nighttime? So Merava, he says, lesuya yem hama'einen. He would learn from that that's not at old times, meaning even at night times, is old times, meaning even a cloudy day. Meaning, because although he learns Gzeres Shavah comparing Rivim to Negoyim, and although the viewing of a Nega is not fit to be on a cloudy day, still, that's what he's including from Chaleis, that it is fit to judge, however, on a cloudy day. Because now we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Negoyim that says, Ein Royin Es Negoyim Shachres Uben Abayim. For example, the Kohen cannot view the Nega to decide if it's a Nega that's Tamei or not. He cannot view it in the morning, or in towards the evening, because that's when the sun is not so strong then. And so too, v'loy b'techa bayis, he can't see it in a house. V'loy b'yemem ma'oinan, and neither on a cloudy day. Why? V'mneshikeya nearest aza, because although it's really dull, which would not make it tamezenega, it would seem at those times as if it's stronger and brighter, and then he would be making it tame inappropriately. You have to know what type of light to see it in. And neither v'loy b'tzaraim, and then you have the problem the other way too. Neither should he see it in the afternoon when the sun of the light is very strong and it mixes up the viewing of a person's eyes, which then actually he might come to say that which is really tameh, he's going to say it's tahar. Mnesha aza near his kei, because at that time, what's really clear actually looks dull. So there are certain times you're not allowed to, so including yom ha'inan, so that's what we need the pasuk b'chaleis to say, although we compare monetary cases to nega, and nega you can't judge on a cloudy day, but for monetary disputes, that's b'chaleis, you could even do that on a cloudy day. The Gemara asks, Remeir, We have a different pasuk we quoted, that this that it says that he should bequeath the inheritance to his sons. My avodle, what does he do with that pasuk? Because we had used these two psukim, one to say that naitam kimik mardin, which we said, no, he's not saying you could do it. He says, b'chalei is coming to teach you a cloudy day. But then we had the other pasuk that Rav had used, which tells us, yeah, it has to be during the daytime, which we said that's tchilas din. But Remeir doesn't need that pasuk because he learns out the requirement of having the court case by day from his hekesh to the halachas of Nagayim. So what does he need the utility of this pasuk that's saying that it has to be by yoyim? Says the Gemara, homibayle, he needs the kedutani Rabba bar Chanina kamid Rav Nachman. Like Rabba Chanina had taught in front of Rav Nachman that it says in the pasuk, v'hoyi b'yom enchil esban, that will be on the day that he bequeaths to his sons, which teaches us, b'yom atam apol nechales, it's only during the daytime that you could inherit to your sons, v'yatam apol nechales balayla, but you cannot give over the inheritance at nighttime. Which the Gemara is going to explain right now what that means, because he asked back to him, Rav Nachman asked him, but if that's the case, what you're just telling me, man de shachah b'imama, so someone who passed away during the daytime, yartan le'bonei, so his sons will inherit him. Man de shachah b'leilu lo yartan le'bonei, but if he passed away at nighttime, his sons will not inherit him. What do you mean? You're saying b'yom enchil esbanam, the people, the sons can only inherit if the father passed away during the daytime and not at nighttime? So Reb Nachman told him, dilma din nechalas kamet, maybe what you meant to say was that the judgment of inheritance, in other words, that it's only during the daytime that the commandment of the dead person will be like a finalization of a court case, and that you won't have to bring it anymore to judges. But at nighttime, then we won't view his command as a finalized din, and then you actually would have to bring it to the court. And those who heard what the dying person had wanted and what's called the tzava of the shchimra, then they'll have to testify in front of the court what he had said. And maybe that's what you mean. Because that says Rav Nachman, the time, like we'll learn the Braisa. Pasuk in Mamidbar, which in the context of the inheritance of a man when he passed away, says over there, V'hoysel b'nei Yisrael l'chukas mishpat, that it will be for the Jewish people, a statute of judgment. Now, Ayra, so it's concluding Kol HaParsha Kula, that whole parsha discussing that of inheritance, li yisdin. It's talking about, it's used the word mishpat, that it should be a judgment. Which sounds like that the giving over of the inheritance is like the conclusion of a court case the moment that he dies. And that means to say whatever the dead person says will be, and they won't have to go to judges anymore. Rather, every one of the inheritors will hold on to whatever he heard from the dying person that's his, and he gets to keep it, and we don't have to go ahead and bring it to a new din tari, because the actual dying of giving over the inheritance is like a court case of itself. Because Rav Yehuda Merav said, he said, there's three people that go to visit a sick person. So this person is passing away right now. So Ratzu Kaisvin, if they want to, they could write a document, like in the lexicon, the terminology of witnesses. And if they write it like that, if they write it down, that just like they're witness to what this dying person is saying, then the inheritors will have to come to a court, and then the court will have to do based on the command of the dead person, which was certified by these witnesses. But, says Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Ratzu Eisen Din, if these three people want to, they themselves could be the court. They could make a judgment. In other words, those who hear what the dying person is saying are allowed to go ahead and take possession of the things that each one that the dying person had said should be theirs, everything like they heard. Now, Shnaim, if there are only two people, however, then they have to write it down and be like witnesses, and they cannot be the judges themselves, because initially when they saw it, they weren't fit to be judges because they were only two people. Now, Rav Chizda said, and he qualified that halach, and he said, this was all said only during the daytime. But even three people, if it was at nighttime when they're not fit to judge, because at nighttime you can't judge, then they have to write it down, and they cannot go ahead and be the dayanim themselves even the next day, because since initially when they saw it, they weren't fit to be judges, so then you run into the problem b'shem d'havalu edim. So that means at nighttime when they heard it, they were only witnesses. Ve'ein eid nasa dayan, and witnesses cannot go ahead and be judges. So in other words, Rav Nachman said to him, maybe that's what you meant to say. Of course, if a person dies at nighttime, his kids would inherit. But you meant the judgment of inheritance. That judgment to be like it's like a din tari when he dies, as if it's concluded, we won't even have to go to court anymore. That's only if he dies during the daytime, because then those who are hearing are like the dayanim. Whereas at nighttime, that you cannot have a din tari at nighttime. That's what you mean to say, that cannot be at nighttime. Amalei said to him, that's what I was saying, and that's what we said according to a mayor, what the pasuk is going to be teaching us from this pasuk of B'yom Enchil Esbanav, It means to say that only during the daytime can we have the mishpat, as if the moment he dies, as if it was concluded in the court of law, that it goes to whichever party. But if he dies at nighttime, then of course the inheritance will go to his sons, but they'll have to take it to court, because you can't be considering like those who heard as if they're the dayanim, because you cannot have a court case, even of monetary law, at nighttime. And that's what he said for a mayor, that actually includes both the tchilas din and the gemar din. Now the Mishnah said other differences. Din nefash is danin by yoyim v'chulu. So he said that although regarding monetary law, that could be started during the day and ended at nighttime, so this same difference continues what we said before, but capital punishment, everything has to be during the daytime. Even the gemar din, even when you're going out to execute him. So the Gemara is mononymously, where do we know this from? So Rav Shimon bar Chiya, he says, Amakra, the pasuk says in Midbar, regarding the Jewish people who had served the idol Pa'ur in the Midbar. So it says, V'hoika oisam l'Hashem neged Hashemesh, that you should hang them to Hashem facing the sun, which that's the Gemara din, when you're going to go out and execute them. And we see that has to be during the daytime. Now, Amrav Chizda, he qualifies this. He says, Minayin lo hikashi t'liya. How do you know to explain that pasuk? That when it says you should be hoiki them to Hashem, that it means to hang them, which is the execution. There's still, like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Beis says, Vaykanam l'Hashem, that we will hang them for Hashem, begivat shol, and givat shol, becher Hashem, who is the chosen one of Hashem. Now, as we continue in the top of Lamahem and Aleph, it says later on over there, that Vatikach Ritzpah, that this woman Ritzpah went and took, she was the Bas Aya, she was the daughter of Aya, she took Esasak, the sackcloth, Vatateyu la el atzor, and she spread out for her to the rock, Betchilas Ktsir, in the beginning of the reaping season, which it gives us Mitchilas Kotzer, and like the pasuk there continues in Shmuel Beis, Chaf Aleph Yud, Ad Nitech Maim Aleim, and the Shemaim, until the water was dripping on them from the heavens, and V'leinosna Eif HaShemaim L'nuach Aleim Yim, she didn't let the birds from the skies rest on them during the daytime, and V'eschai Sesodolali, she didn't let the wild animals of the field pounce upon them at nighttime. Now, this refers to the people that were killed from the descendants of Shaul. Now, we see that obviously they were revealed, and that's why she was covering them, because they were hanging on the wood. Now, although there's seemingly a different problem, how could they have been hanging for such a long time? When it says, Laisalim Nebelasi, the Torah doesn't allow someone to be hanging overnight. So the Gemara in Yevamos, Ayin Tesem Aleph, says that yes, it's better that we uproot a letter from the Torah, and they should make a Kiddush Hashem out in the public, where everyone will see and ask, what's this? Why are people hanging for such a long time? There the sons of kings will tell them, and it's only because they stretched out their hands to do bad to lowly converts. And we see, wow, look how Hashem doesn't differentiate and will punish even such great people for what they did to even people lower on the status. Now, but one thing we see is that Vaikanim was that they were hanging. And we know they were hanging because they were out there for such a long time, and that's why she was covering them. So we see that Vaikanim means hanging. Now, Gemara just concludes this discussion by saying, Uksiv, it says within that pasuk about Midbar, which we start off by saying, how do we know that the Gemara din even has to be during the daytime for din nefashis, where it says that you should hang them for Hashem facing the sun. So it says over there in the pasuk, V'yem Hashem al-Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, kachas kol rosh ha'am, take all the leaders of the people. And it says over there, V'hoika asam, and go hang them. Now the question is, in ma'am chatu, if the people sinned because they served pa'ar, rosh ha'am ma'chatu, what did the leaders of the people do? Why are they being hanged? So Amar Yehudim Rabbi says, no, that's not how you read the pasuk. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Chalik lahem batei dinin, split up the leaders of the Jewish people into many different courts. And the way you read the pasuk is, Kach kol rosh ha'am, take all the leaders of the Jewish people, and then take them to those separate, that they should each be their own little courts, and then they'll judge the sinners who did the Avodah Zarah, and then v'hoika ayisam, and then those who are going to be found liable, then they should hang them because they went and they served this Baal Pa'ur, and they did this Avodah Zarah, which the punishment is being stoned, and as the Gemara elsewhere tells us, whoever gets stoned gets hanged, and that's why these individuals were being hanged. Now, ask the Gemara, my time, but what was the necessity? Okay, so the leaders weren't being hung, but they were separating into many different courts. But what's the reason? Why couldn't we just have the Sanhedrin there execute everybody? Why do we have to make every leader into a separate court? Elaim and Mishram Shain done, and if you're going to say it's because you can't have one court to judge Shnayim B'yam Echad, two capital punishment cases in the same day. But that asked the Gemara of Amr, Rav Chizda said, Lo Yishonu, we didn't learn that a court cannot go ahead and do two capital punishments in the same day. El B'shtei Mises. Only when there are two different death penalties, because there are two different types of cases, and each one has to have its own understanding and intricacies, and they might come to make a mistake, because they might not analyze it well enough. That's why you can't do two in the same day. But regarding one death penalty and one type of sin done, and that you do educate even the same court on the same day. So here, everyone did the same aver and there was the same death penalty. Why did they have to split? Why did Hashem want them to be many different courts? Now the rather says the Gemara, as it's obvious from the Pasuk says of Bamidbar Chafei, B'yashav Charein Af, etc., that then the anger of Hashem will calm down. It was Kadesh Yashav Charein Af Mi Yisrael. It was the purpose of this was that it should calm down the anger of Hashem from the Jewish people, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see that everyone is involved in this and they're all taking revenge for the honor and the dignity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because everyone's getting involved in prosecuting those sinners. That was the purpose of making many different courts, not just one high court, but many. That was the purpose, but not because it wasn't possible. It was. It just was for the purpose. Yes, they themselves weren't getting hanged, but they were getting involved to show that the Jewish people do care about what was done, and that was the reason why they were split up into many different courts.